On this episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks, I break down the season finale for the baseball team as the boys fall in Hoover and the season comes to a close for the Gamecocks. And then also, with 100 days to go till kickoff, I break down the first three game times for the Carolina Gamecocks football team. Okay, here we go. Welcome to episode 70 of Cox Talking Gamecocks. I am your host, Tim Cox, where I will keep every episode from 1801 to 2001. And I hope y'all out there are gearing up for a nice Memorial Day weekend. MDW? Memorial Day weekend is great. It's a big time American holiday. Plus, it's the unofficial but kind of official start of the summer. Get that short week off work. No one gives a shit about work that Friday anyway, so it's like a double extra long weekend, and it's awesome. But a heads up for y'all here with the holiday, there will be no podcast on Monday, and I am thinking of moving the schedule around just a little bit for the off season for the summer months. Instead of twice a week, I'm thinking about going to once a week just on Fridays. So we'll talk about whatever is going on for that whole week in Carolina athletics. I'll also dive into football schedules, talk about updates with baseball teams or basketball, anything that's going on, and then maybe try to get some fun interactive series or segments or something like that where we can mix it up. The podcast is not going anywhere, y'all. Might just be throttling down, cruising a little bit, going on a little sail. I don't know where I'm going with this metaphor, but throttling it back a little bit just for the summer months, just a little summer ease, and then full send, full go twice a week leading up to the first week of football. So just something to consider. I will make it official in the next week or two, though. I won't keep y'all hanging too much, but we do have some stuff to talk about this episode. I got some things to get off my chest, but before we do, must start with our daily Gamecock fact and trivia. And today's fact is as follows. The University of South Carolina was the first major Division I school in the country to declare equestrian a varsity sport. How about that? Shout out the Carolina equestrian team. Shout out all our teams. I actually remember in this past football season when equestrian was also going on. It might have actually been during our bye week, but basically, one of the horses we have for the university placed like fourth in some huge tournament. Its name was like Big Tony or something like that. And I gave a shout out to Big Tony. And like I had just started the show, and here I am giving a shout out to a horse. But you know what? Shout out Big Tony. I hope that's his name. If there's any equestrian riders or fans, diehard fans of the equestrian team, let me know if that name rings a bell, or if you want to come on the show, why not? It'd be fun. But all right, moving on to games that are actually being played, scores that matter. For the last time, for a little bit, y'all, got to give you the update on baseball here. Because unfortunately, the boys fell in Hoover, and the team lost 2-1 in 10 innings to Florida. It was the opening round of the SEC tournament. As we know, that was the game. It was all out of whack. There was some lightning, and it was just a very interesting day in Hoover overall. And with that loss, the season is over. You know, and it's tough because we knew that it would take a serious, big miracle run to give us that hope and to open that door to making it to a regional and everything like that. But it's – you're ripping the Band-Aid off, right, at this point. And it was a tough loss. It was a very interesting game. It was an absolute pitcher's duel. Absolute pitcher's duel. Will Sanders, game of his life, went 7 innings, 4 hits, 3 walks, only 1 run allowed, and that was an unearned run. The kid was absolutely dealing. The guy did exactly what you expect out of your ace, and he did everything in his power to bring the Gamecocks to a victory. Unfortunately, he could only do so much. I mean, so much to the fact that, like I said, it was a pitcher's duel. Carolina was being no hit. I think it was for the first 6 or 7 innings even. I think it was 7 innings. It was Josiah Seitler, of course, who gave Carolina a little hope to tie the game in the 7th. We gave up that run. I believe it was the 4th inning. 7th inning, Seitler hits a double, and he ended up being thrown out at home, was waved home. It was a bit of a questionable send. I mean, he's not the fastest guy to begin with, but he's got an injured ankle, and you really needed the base runners, but they sent him, got thrown out. It's funny because I was even thinking when he was on second that maybe you could pinch run for him. 7th inning, runners are a premium. They obviously did not. And honestly, kind of luckily, they did not, because here comes the 9th inning and Carolina was actually able to get men on base. And Ice Ice Baby, the Iceman, Andrew Eyster, he comes up and he hits a ball that I thought for sure was a game-ending, a season-ending double play, ends up scoring the run, fielder's choice, and ties the game. It was unbelievable, right? Kate Austin comes in to pitch the bottom of the 9th, does a nice job getting that hold, getting the game to extras, and South Carolina fails to score in the top of the 10th, so brings us to the bottom of the 10th. And for those of you who watched, please cover your ears. Once Florida got up, they were able to get a couple runners on. They had a pinch hitter who got on base, and it was kind of an odd decision where they didn't send a runner. He was on second. Pinch hitter hit a single. The guy looked like he could have been able to score. They held him, kind of gave us some hope for a little bit. So they had 2 runners on in scoring position. Runner hits a short line out to center field. Evan Stone throws the perfect ball to home plate. They sent the runner on the tag up. And unfortunately, Talmadge LaCroix dropped the ball on the tag. He had him. He dropped the ball. You didn't see it from the initial camera angle. Looked like I thought he might have been safe, but turns out Talmadge dropped the ball. Just a tough, tough play. I feel absolutely gutted for the young man. And Florida walks it off with the win in the 10th, 2-1 victory, thus ending the Carolina Gamecocks season. And I don't know. I spoke about it a little bit on Instagram here, and it just kind of felt like this game encapsulated the season rather well, where you had one side of the team absolutely going above and beyond, where you had Will Sanders absolutely dealing, doing everything in his power to put zeros on the board. Gave up 1 unearned run, that's it. And yet, I understand it's Florida's best pitcher, best on best, but you were getting no hit for majority of the game. You could not get anything going. Seitler gets thrown out at the plate. It takes a miracle in the 9th to tie it. And that just kind of feels like how the season went, where we could never put it together at the right time together. And you'd have really nice offensive performances, but the pitching staff would give up a bunch of runs and it wouldn't matter. You had games where pitchers would deal and we would go low, but the hitters just couldn't get enough across the plate. So it's just absolutely a tough way to lose. You know, this season had a lot of ups and downs and a lot of head-scratching moments and a lot of times where we were pulling our hair out. And I never want the seasons to end, right? It was a tough season, though, to watch at times. And when it got down to the end of the game, I was sad. I didn't want this season to end. Carolina baseball, we take a lot of pride in that. So, tough way to end the year. The video of Andrew Eichter post-game in the press conference, his last college baseball game, absolutely heartbreaking. You know, the man shedding tears, saying that the university, when he came here, was at first just a place to play 2 years and then turn pro. But he ended up staying, found a home, said he might live here after graduation. Just tough to see these kids go through that. Mark Kingston, after the game, said something along the lines of, you know, it wasn't their year. They didn't get the right breaks. Here's a quote for you. This is from Mark Kingston. Quote, "It's one of those years where everything that can go wrong goes wrong. In a tight ball game, sometimes one bounce can be one team's great fortune and another team's misfortune. You're on the line like you're supposed to be on the line. Sometimes you just have to say it wasn't meant to be." He also said in his post-game press conference that there are just years where things go wrong. I got to tell you, I'm not digging that. I'm really not digging that from Kingsdon. I'm just not. You know, I mean, I don't know what you're supposed to say in that situation, but I really don't like the throwing your hands up in the air and saying, well, it's just one of those years. Things go bad every now and then. Sometimes it's just not meant to be. Well, no, that's what happens, you know, when you lose in this type of game in a regional or a super regional. You don't just throw your hands up and say, well, you know, just a bad year. Got a couple bad breaks. That doesn't happen at South Carolina. We don't have down years. For the first time since 1996, South Carolina finishes with a record below 500. 1996, finished 27-28 overall. That is an abysmal outlook on it. I don't know, man. I don't like that at all. Like, that is like Will Muschamp-esque. No accountability. Just saying it just wasn't meant to be. I want a coach who says, you know what? My job is to get us there. My job is to find a way. I didn't find a way. But I'm gonna. And I'm gonna learn from this. And my boys fought. Despite me. They fought. I didn't like that from Kingsdon. I did not like that at all. But now all we have to do is wait and see what the future of South Carolina baseball is. A lot of people, myself included, want this guy gone. I feel like the proof is in the pudding. The sample size is big enough. He's just not getting it done at this level. I don't think he is the man for the job. Fine baseball coach. Not for this level. Not for this school. But I don't know. There's a lot of information out there and a lot of rumors that he might get another shot at this thing. And some people like to speculate that it's because of the big buyouts we've had to pay recently, and you don't want to go three buyouts in a row, you know, two big buyouts in within a couple months span. I don't buy that. We have the money. I don't buy that. I just think there's too many internal politics that the athletic department has to deal with, and Ray Tanner might not want to deal with all that, which is not the right attitude to have, in my opinion. But all we have to do is just wait and see, y'all. It stinks that the season ends this way. To not be at a regional does not feel right at all. You know, this year was a lot of ups and downs. It just felt like it was a year of untapped and unrealized potential. You know, coming into this year, we had some key pieces. Guys like Eichter come to mind, you know, and you had nice transfers. Brant Belt comes to mind. You know, you still had Will Sanders. You had some exciting freshmen, Michael Braswell. And it just felt like they were not all there. The pieces were just not being put together at the right time. And at times in this season, it felt like we had it. Winning the series against Texas. I mean, that late sweep against Auburn, you know, that felt great. But I hate to look back and nitpick, but, you know, there was a couple early season losses that were head scratchers, a couple early season games that got away from us where we ended up winning, but we had to come back late in the games where we ended up winning. And so no one really thinks of it at the time, but maybe looking back on it, that pointed to cracks. And I don't think Mark Kingsdon did a good job at all of filling those cracks or trying to avoid walking into those cracks. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting to watch and see what happens with this team. If he stays, does he change position coaches? Like hitting coaches, you know, whatnot. I think I got football on the brain. But it's going to be very interesting to see. And that's all we have to do. We have to just wait and see. Right, it's officially the offseason for baseball. It's officially the offseason for all South Carolina athletics. But as it stands today, moving away from that, as it stands today, as you are listening to this, it is less than 100 days to kickoff. I cannot believe I'm saying that. And don't get me wrong. I don't want to wish away summer. It's going to be a fun summer. But my goodness, nothing beats football season. I mean, really. Like, if you're telling me tomorrow I could wake up and it's week one versus waking up tomorrow and it's end of May, oh yeah, give me week one. But it's incredible and perfect timing for the podcast. The first 3 weeks of kickoff times were announced. This is how they always like to do this. You get the first couple weeks announced, and then from there the TV stations kind of determine when the games are played based off of ratings and things like that. So going to read them in order and then give my takes on them after that. Week one, the home opener against Georgia State is 7:30 p.m. Week two at Arkansas is at noon. That's actually 11 a.m. Central Time. That's where Arkansas is. And week three, Georgia at home is also at noon. So starting with week one, you got to absolutely love the home opener at night. I don't care that it's against Georgia State. That environment is going to be insane. I mean, the environment last year at the home opener was insane. And what was that? Eastern Illinois? It's going to be bonkers. The hype around this team is real. The excitement and the hope around this team is real. It's going to be so, so fun to watch that. Now, personally, I don't love this time for personal reasons because I'm going to have to be at a wedding rehearsal dinner that night. I mean, don't these people know that it's college football season? What the hell are we doing here? I mean, you know, I'm going to have like the father of the bride giving a speech, and I'm going to be looking at my phone locked in, trying to like curse under my breath. It's going to be quite the balancing act. I really don't know how I'm going to pull it off, but I'm going to watch that game some way, somehow. You bet your ass I'm going to. But for everyone else, I'm very happy for you that it's a 7:30 kick. Now, moving over to week two at Arkansas at noon, I actually like this. This game is very, very important. I don't think it's the most important game on the schedule, but if you win this game, the sky is truly the limit with what this season can become. It opens up all sorts of possibilities. And so if you're trying to pull what will likely be an upset, I don't think we'll be favored in that game, trying to pull an upset on the road in the SEC, typically speaking, a good way to do that is to play early. 11 a.m., maybe their fans are a little sleepy. I'm assuming they've already had their home opener. Maybe you get in and you catch them napping a little bit. So I'm okay with that one. Now, week three versus Georgia at home, that's at noon as well. This one kind of stinks. I mean, there's no way to describe it. It's less than ideal. I think every Gamecock fan out there would have thought this would have been a night game. This kind of matchup screams that 4 p.m. kickoff SEC network type game. Instead, you get the noon kick. It's going to be hot as hell in Columbia, but you know what? It's okay. Because it's week three, the hype is going to be real, there's a chance you're 2-0, you're going up against a bitter rival who, yes, they just won the national championship, but they could be looking to reload at a lot of key pieces. They could be still working out the kinks there. So it's not going to matter that it's at noon. This crowd is going to be absolutely electric. You already know Beamer is going to be packing the house. And hey, if you win, you get to booze it all day and celebrate. You don't have to worry about staying hydrated and making it into the gates at 7 p.m., huh? How about that spin zone there? But it's going to be an incredible, incredible football season. I am so excited that we get to talk football. It's so funny to more people are, that's kind of the top of mind now. Baseball's over, slowly but surely, football. And I'm going to break down a couple weeks at a time or position groups or I'm going to break down this throughout the offseason. Don't worry, we're talking football throughout the offseason. But with that, y'all, that wraps up this episode. Remember, there is no show on Monday, but it is the offseason. Let's put our feet up. Let's gear up. Let's rest up. Have a hell of a Memorial Day weekend. Let's go, Cox.